Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarne. Yeah, everyone please turn off your cell phone. Or if you absolutely must speak on your cell phone, then go and do it somewhere else, not in front of the deities. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, Text 46. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Nirupyatamiha svartha kiyandeha bhrito suraha nishikadishvavasthasu klishyamanasya karma bhihi nirupyatamiha svartha kiyandeha bhrito suraha nishikadishvavasthasu klishyamanasya karma bhihi. Translation, this is Prahlad, child Prahlad speaking to his childhood school friends. He states, "My dear friends, O sons of the Asuras, the living entity receives different types of bodies according to his previous fruitive activities. Thus he is seen to suffer with reference to his particular body in all conditions of life, beginning with his infusion into the womb. Please tell me, therefore, after full consideration, what is the living entity's actual interest in fruitive activities which result in hardship and misery?" Purport. Karmana daiva netrena jantur deho papattaye. The living entity receives a particular type of body according to his karma or fruitive activities. The material pleasure derived in the material world from one's particular body is based on sexual pleasure. Yan maithuna digrihamedi sukham hitucham. The entire world is working so hard only for sexual pleasure. To enjoy sexual pleasure and maintain the status quo of material life, one must work very hard. And because of such activities, one prepares himself another material body. Prahlad Maharaj places this matter to his friends, the Asuras, for their consideration. Asuras generally cannot understand that the objects of sense pleasure, the so-called pleasure of materialistic life, depend on extremely hard labor. Before I speak on this verse, I'd just like to congratulate the devotees here for maintaining year after year the gorgeous worship of Sri Sri Radha Rasbihari, Lalita Vishaka, Sri Sri Gonitai, Sita Ram, Lakshman Hanuman. In our society, as we're in the spiritual world, in the temple, but spiritual world bubble in the material world, so we also have our ups and downs and ins and outs and disagreements and this and that, but the deity worship goes on steadily day after day after day, and just remind us what our focus is, what our real duty is, and what our ultimate aspiration is to attain the eternal service of Sri Sri Radha Krishna in the spiritual world. Now, the instruction we receive here in this verse might seem to be some very basic instruction. Srimad Bhagavatam is topmost shastra. Speaking in terms of gradation, this particular instruction is not the topmost. Doesn't mean that it's not relevant or it's not important or that we're beyond it. In fact, we can understand that the very reason that this kind of instruction is repeated again and again, even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, indicates that most of the hearers of Srimad Bhagavatam do need to hear this again and again. Prahlad Maharaj is speaking about swartha, which up to the present day is a common word in most Indian languages. By speaking about what is not our swart, he speaks swart, for those of you who maybe don't know, I think almost everyone present here knows, means self-interest, what is our own self-interest. So elsewhere in Prahlad Maharaj's teachings, as a famous statement among the followers of Srila Prabhupada, because he often quoted it, Nate vidur swartha gatim hi Vishnum. They don't know, they, meaning the fools and rascals, another term we learn from Srila Prabhupada, they do not know that their real self-interest is in worshipping Vishnu. And therefore, Nate vidu swartha gatim hi Vishnum, durashayai. What is it? Durashayai? Bahiratamaninas. Therefore, they are very hopeful of attaining that which is external to their actual self-interest. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to, he coined some term. It's describing the whole situation, the foolishness of the situation of everyone in the material world. That everyone in the material world is apa swartha parayana, which means very much attached to that which is absolutely opposed to their real self-interest. It might appear to be their real self-interest, but it is. So how foolish can you be to be attached to something which is actually harmful to you? Is this the limit of foolishness? Whatever is the worst possible thing for you, you're very much attached to it. That is the condition of everyone in this material world. And this instruction we find again and again throughout Bhagavatam. This verse which we're reading today is a paraphrase of the famous verse, again famous, as Srila Prabhupada often quoted it, Nunang pramata kurute vikarma yad indriya pritiya apinoti na sadhu manye yata atmano yamasannapi klesha da asadehaha. People are insane who continue to perform sinful activities for the sake of sense enjoyment, because that causes them to be born again and again and suffer again and again. So, as I said, it's not the highest knowledge, it's very basic spiritual knowledge that we're born again and again. Practically, it's the beginning of spiritual knowledge to know that we're born again and again and we suffer again and again in this material world due to attachment for sense enjoyment. So therefore, obviously, we should try to get a solution to this, stop trying to enjoy this material world and come to the actual standard of enjoyment in the spiritual world. Here particularly sexual enjoyment is emphasized. It's the center of material existence. That also Rishabdev very famously says that Striya Pungsa Mittuni Bhavametam Tayoraho Hridya Grantimahuhu Ato Griha Kshetra Sutapta Vitaya Janasya Moho Yamahammameti. Everyone in this material world is illusioned. What is that illusion? The illusion, the basis of it is the attraction between male and female, which causes a hard knot of material attachment to form. Very difficult, hard knot. And from this develops desire for, and attachment to, person becomes attached, a man becomes attached to his wife becomes attached to husband, to one's own property, my home, to Janani Janma Bhumischa, Swargameva Gariyase. It's in Sanskrit, but it's nonsense. It's not that everything in Sanskrit means that it's bona fide. We have also another famous statement, Prabhupada made it famous to us, Ritangritva Gritang Pibet, Yavat Jivet Sukham Jivet. What is the next line? Bhasmi Bhutasya Dehasya Kimpuna Agamana Obhavit. So, very nice Sanskrit verse which says that beg, steal, or borrow, drink, literally says drink ghee, enjoy ghee. Because when you die, you don't come back again. The body's burned, finished. So enjoy while you can. It's all in Sanskrit. It's complete nonsense and rascaldom. So this basic instruction is given here in the Srimad Bhagavatam again and again. Even in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, we find Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the supreme enjoyer, whose pastimes of enjoyment are recounted particularly in this. This is all the Vedic literature, the crown jewel is the, with all due respect to Shankaracharya, who has made a different Churamani, is the pastimes of Krishna in the 10th canto. And we find there he also, to Uddhava, he gives him in great detail the same thing that he spoke in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, speaking to all the great sages who had assembled there at Kurukshetra, that Janasya Mohoyama, Yasyatma Buddhi Kunapari, Tridhatuk, Swadhi Kalatra Deshu Bhoma Ijadhihi. Yatirta buddhi salilena karhijid janesh vabhigyeshu sa eva gokara. He's speaking to the great sages, actually praising them, telling them that they are the ones who make the tirtas into tirtas, as also Yudhishthira told to Vidura. People come for bathing in the holy place, but they don't have any spiritual knowledge. They think that bathing in the holy place is all in all because they think the body is the self. They think their place of birth is worshipable. So in this way, they're no better than an animal. Now, Srila Prabhupada writes here that asuras generally cannot understand that the objects of sexual pleasure, the so-called pleasure of materialistic life, depend on extremely hard labor. So someone might contest this. Srila Prabhupada writes here that to enjoy in this world, you have to work very hard to get it. He may say, well, it's not like that for everyone. You might win the lottery. Then you don't have to work hard anymore. Or some people are born with a silver spoon in their mouth from the very beginning. They don't have to work very hard. Someone is born in the heavenly planets. They don't have to go to the office or factory or get on the local train and go up and down. So many people are working hard, but not everyone. And there is a process of performing pious activities by which you can go to the heavenly planets. So why don't you do that? And then you can enjoy. And you have to come back again, but then you do some more pious activities, and then you go back up again. So if you're really smart, you can avoid all this hard work and still enjoy in this material world. The proposition may be put like that. There's a class of followers of the Vedas, Karma Mimamsaka, who recommend, they say that all this talk about renunciation in the Vedas, that's just for stupid people who can't get their act together. They can't get their sense enjoyment together, so they just reject it. Well, the Vaishnavas also say that. So the Vaishnavas go beyond bhog and tyag, both the desire to enjoy this world and the desire to reject it due to disappointment. Although here, in this verse, and in many verses, it points out the futility of material happiness, but the alternative offered is not simply negation. So there is a, although much in the Srimad Bhagavatam does encourage renunciation of the idea of trying to enjoy this world, but it doesn't encourage the renunciation by which one simply denies the reality of this world but fails to grasp the actual reality of the spiritual world in love of Krishna, service to Krishna. So some people are happy. There is such a thing as material happiness. The term is there. Although this material world is certified by Lord Krishna to be dukhalayam, it is a place of misery. But there is some kind of happiness in this world. It can't be denied that there is some kind of happiness. Otherwise, as Srila Prabhupada pointed out, why do people work so hard? Why are at this very moment, while we're sitting here peacefully in this temple, there are literally thousands of people packed into the local trains in Bombay, just a short distance from here, going up and down. Well, mostly going down at this time of day. Why is that? Why are they doing it? The idea is to earn money, and at least traditionally that would be centered on family life. Although in modern Bombay, being one of the progressive cities of India, nowadays family is becoming optional for men and women. Earning money to enjoy, just to enjoy, with no sense of responsibility. But either way, the idea they're earning money so they can get money so they can enjoy this world. And the enjoyment is centered around family life. And while they're going on the train, they may be dreaming of becoming in such a situation where they can just enjoy without having to go to work, any anxiety, such a thing. So there is some standard that people are thinking of. I guess in Bombay, the ultimate standard of enjoyment is the big film stars of Bollywood. They're considered to be at the ultimate level of enjoyment, maybe the top of India. Who is in a greater situation of enjoyment than our next door neighbor here, Amitabh Bachchan? He just lives around the corner. Of course, he's getting old now. But anyway, he's still demonstrated to be a great enjoyer of this world by advertising anything you can think of, practically. So he's shown to be a model of enjoyment. Of course, We have, just citing his name, we have nothing in particular for him or against him. But he also has to suffer birth, death, old age and disease. That is also unavoidable. And when a big person like him dies, they'll have a big thing in the newspapers for 1 or 2 days, and what a great film star he was or whatever, and that doesn't help him at all, as he has to go on his forward journey or backward journey or downward or maybe upward, you never know. Anyway, the whole concept of enjoyment in this material world, levels of enjoyment, that is discussed in some detail in the Taittiriya Upanishad, which I'll read from a translation of, that according to the Vedic conception, the ultimate standard of enjoyment on this earth is to be a young man, not a woman, sorry, but it does say in Shastra, to be a young man. Young, it means when you're young you have all facility for sense enjoyment. The body is, the body and the senses are in full strength for enjoyment. So a young man of noble disposition, not a wretch or a lecher. Lecher means who's vyabhichari, who's doing it, but well-behaved, pious young man who has studied the Vedas. So it means pious. He's not, the standard of enjoyment isn't to be some low-class hooligan, but to be pious, well-behaved, young, strong in mind, strong in body, strong in principles, wealthy. That is the measure of enjoyment for a human being on this planet. Now, there's described the next level of enjoyment. That's the highest in this world, highest level of material enjoyment. Then the next level up is that of what's called the human Gandharvas. That means they're just a little above the human. The different levels of Gandharvas. So Gandharvas are not really, they could be called demi-demigods. Demigod means half god, and demigod means, they're lower level demigods. So the lower level demigods, Gandharvas, they're experience of happiness is 100 times more that of the highest happiness of someone who's very happy in this world. And that doesn't mean all the people who are going on the trains in Bombay at the moment. Someone who's on a level of happiness much, much higher than them. But the human Gandharvas, their level of bliss is 100 times more. Then there's the celestial Gandharvas, those who actually make it up to the heavenly planets, then their level is 100 times more. Oh, and also that's the same level of bliss of one who's versed in the Vedas and is free from material desires. Now there's a whole list of different levels of happiness, and in each one it says that that's also the level of bliss of one who is well learned in the Vedas and is free from material desires. So now we have 100 times 100 of the celestial Gandharvas, who are still only lower level demigods. So you can see, to go up to the heavenly planets, it's quite a good deal compared to going on the local trains in Bombay. It's, or even being a film star in Bombay, or even anything in Bombay, or anything in the world at the present time, because in Kali Yuga, the situation is especially harsh, difficult to have any kind of enjoyment. So there are the celestial Gandharvas, and above them are the Pitris, or the, there's an English word, the mains, but I don't think anyone uses that. Forefathers, Srila Prabhupada used to say. So in the Pitri Loka, their level of bliss is 100 times more than that of the celestial Gandharvas. And it goes on. The devas of Swargaloka, the general demigods in Swargaloka, their level of happiness is 100 times more than that of the Pitris. And 100 times more than that is the happiness of those known as the Karma Devas, those who have attained that position in the heavenly worlds due to their performing sacrifices. So that's, there are different ways to get to heaven, but according to this statement of Taittiriya Upanishad, the method of going by yajñas, that's the best. You get more for your money's worth by going by that method. You get 100 times more. Then, the actual high-level devas, the big demigods, we hear about the 33 crores, so the high-level demigods, their level is 100 times more than that, even. So it's getting difficult to imagine, 100 times 100 times 100 times 100 times 100 times 100. It makes... the Bollywood heroes look, no, their position is not so relishable after all. The people come to Bombay, they want to join, they're dreaming of becoming a film star. But there's much higher level to aspire for. And many people, by reading the Vedas, they think, yeah, sounds good, sounds much better. Let's do it. Let's be pious and go to the heavenly worlds. There's so much more happiness there. 100 times more than that of the general high-level demigods is that of Indra. And we know from Bhagavatam and from Mahabharata and so many descriptions, Indra himself is always getting in so much trouble. He has to suffer anxiety. Sometimes he gets... really in trouble, gets kicked out of heaven by Bali Maharaj, insults his guru, and kills Vritrasura and is chased by sin personified. But even in that situation of material happiness, one still, the happiness might be there, but the unhappiness is there side by side. You can't, it's unavoidable. It's a law of the universe. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Again, it's very basic instruction, but people don't understand. Yehi sansparsha ja bhoga dukha yonaya evate adyanta vanta kaunteyana teshu ramate buddhaha. Very simple, easy to understand instruction, which no one understands. Kimascharya matafparam. What could be more amazing than this? That everyone wants to be happy by interacting their senses with the sense objects. But no one's happy. On the other hand, it generates distress. From the beginning, thinking about it, doing it, the after effects, sense enjoyment simply causes distress. That's true for you and me and for Indra, who has such a high level of material enjoyment. He also has to suffer. It's unavoidable. Material enjoyment leads to distress. Srila Prabhupada, in one letter to a temple president, and it was addressing the condition of one of his disciples, although she was young, in her early 20s, she had some very serious arthritic condition, very painful bodily condition. And Srila Prabhupada, they had asked Prabhupada what should she do. Prabhupada said she simply has to tolerate, and then in four words, He gave something which we can, if we always remember this, it'll be a very helpful in our life. We can say it's a summary of Yehi Sangsparsha Jabhoga. Dukha Yonya Evate Adyantavanta Kontiana Teshu Ramate Buddha. In four words, pleasure is a misconception. There you go. Take all the philosophies in the world and study them and see if they can understand this point. Most of the great thinkers, university scholars, this, that, giving political advice, social advice, psychological advice, they don't understand this basic point. Pleasure is a misconception. That the idea that we can be happy in this material world, it's a misconception. Even for Indra, what to speak of us little petty beings down here. But of course there is a higher level of happiness than that of Indra. And then you go up to Brihaspati. His enjoyment is 100 times more than that of Indra. And then you go up to Prajapati, which here means Brahma, and his level of happiness is 100 times more. And then of one who has realized Brahman, his level is 100 times more. So there you go. Let's all become Brahman realized. And then we find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted the standard understanding of the Vaishnava philosophies, Twat Sakshat Karana Lada Vishuddha Abdi Stithasya Me Sukhani Goshta Padayanta Brahmanyapi Jagad Guru. My dear Lord, O Master of the Universe, since I have directly seen you, my transcendental bliss has taken the shape of a great ocean. Being situated in that ocean, I now realize all other so-called happiness, including that of being merged in the impersonal Brahman, to be like water contained in the hoof print of a calf. So this is a common example in Shastric tradition, comparing the water that might gather in the hoof print of a calf, not even a cow, calf, little baby. How much water can you gather in that? Compared to an ocean. So that is bhakti rasamrita sindhu, which is the ocean of bliss, of pure devotional service. It's not even 100 times more, but it unlimitedly surpasses the frog in the well story. The frog in the well cannot understand how great is the ocean. Cannot conceive of it. He can begin to conceive of it if he submissively hears from one who has seen the ocean. But as long as he thinks that the well is all there is, then he's condemned to be a frog in the well until the snake of time eats him up. So we should all enter the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought this, Srila Prabhupada brought this, Srila Prabhupada established Radha Rasa Bihari here. Just now I'm going through for the first time after quite a few years Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, recommended for everyone, for all devotees. Probably many of you also haven't read it for quite a few years. There are so many books to read. It's very, very blissful. We can, even from our level of still struggling with anarthas, we can, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we can begin to appreciate how bhakti rasa, it's really amrita. Not like this amrita is described here in this verse, the amrita of this material world, it's given as amrita upama. It's compared to, but it's not really. That's vishayendriya samyogam yattadagre mritopamam pariname vishamiva tatsukam rajasam smritam. The happiness of sensual enjoyment, it seems like nectar. It's called nectar. It seems very nice, but the result that transforms into poison. So we see here, 100 times bliss, 100 times, 100 times, 100 times, 100 times, again and again and again. It's all based on the idea of sense enjoyment, and it's all poison. You get up to the level of Brahma, well, if he's a devotee, then he's, as our Brahma in this universe is a devotee, well, that's a different kind of different consciousness altogether. But the idea of attaining the post of Brahma for enjoyment, that I can be the topmost in the universe, the whole conception is a misconception. Pleasure is a misconception, the whole idea of that. Therefore, one should aspire for that happiness which is beyond Vishayendriya Samyogam, the contact of the senses with the objects of the senses, or even the mental platform. One should come to the level of Brahman realization. And that impersonal Brahman realization, the not impersonal Brahman, even much, much better is to enter into the ocean of the nectar of devotion, bhakti rasamrita sindhu. Prahlad Maharaj in this verse is telling us what not to do, or telling his friends what not to do, and they're much accustomed to doing what they should not do. Everyone in the material world is accustomed to that. But then, having told them what not to do, then he will direct them to what is their actual swartha. This he spoke. Now he's speaking what he learned in the womb, and later chronologically, he would say to his father Hiranyakashipu, "Nate vidu swartha gatim." He Vishnu, the real object of our, what is really in our self-interest, is to worship Vishnu. So devotees, Mayavadis, they both acknowledge that this material world is full of suffering. We should not take part in that suffering. In this way, even the position of the impersonalists, philosophically they're in a better position even than that of the demigods, who are stuck on the platform of material enjoyment. But the devotees, they're even in a much better position than that of the impersonalists, who, for all they understand this material world is miserable, we should get released from it, they don't have the clue of service to Krishna. They don't have that inclination. As Prahlad again says in another famous verse, because they're involved in punaf punaf charavita charvanana. Well, that's what the impersonalists come to also, because they have anardita yushmarangraha, because they have no sense of attachment to or worship or respect for Krishna. So even if they become neglectful or disinclined toward material enjoyment, because they do not develop the inclination to worship Krishna, then they don't get properly fixed in liberation. They become vimuktamani. They only think themselves properly liberated. And they have to come back down to this platform of petty material enjoyment. And this is the valuable lesson that we need to hear. Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost shastra, topmost part of that shastra is the 10th canto description of Krishna's blissful pastimes. Here again and again in Bhagavatam we have descriptions of the condition of this material world. Srila Prabhupada also spoke about this again and again, because we need to hear it. It is required that we hear this again and again and again, because while on the one hand we're aspiring to go to the spiritual world, on the other hand, Maya didn't give up trying to call us back to this material enjoyment. So intelligently, we should understand that this is not in our self-interest to try to enjoy this material world. It's gross foolishness to try to do so. Hare Krishna. I'll finish talking now, and if any of our devotees here would like to say something, questions, comments, further elucidations, yeah, please give the microphone here. Oh, there was one point I forgot. I was saying that people say, well, you don't have to work hard. If you're born in a rich family, you don't have to work hard. But to enjoy. But to get that position in a previous life, you have to do. So you can't avoid it. You may in one life have some position of enjoyment, but that was only due to some hard austerities or something you did in a previous life. So it's not just by chance that you get that situation. So that's one point. Yeah. Is there a Matriloka? I never heard of that. Although it is stated in Shastra that if the wife goes, the faithful wife goes where the husband goes. And I guess there wouldn't be much fun if you're looking for material enjoyment to go to the Pitriloka if there's no wives there. Where's the pleasure without the female? So, Pitri, as Lokanath Maharaj can say, is a Sanskrit word. It, just like we say Manavata, which means men, just in English, mankind includes women also. It's there in English and it's there in Sanskrit. It might not be there in English very long. Humanity. Yeah, right. Husband, male and female. Yeah. So it includes, yeah. Ah, yes, please give the microphone here. Tough questions, yeah, all these sannyasis here. Thank you.
Jayadeva Goswami, towards the end of his Gita Govind, at the very end, he's comparing now this Gita Govind is here, which is all material. All the worldly pleasure is nothing in front of in comparison with Gita Govind. Then he cites different examples. In this, Sharkara, Karkarasi. Sharkara means sugar. Now you have become Karkara, you have the sand. You eat sand. So now the Sharkara word, the pleasure that when you eat Sharkara, sugar, now this becomes experience of eating sand.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's Jayadeva, isn't it?
Yeah.
Linguistically, it's beautiful, and the simile is also very beautiful because the sand looks like sugar. But if you think I want to eat that, then it's such a nasty experience.
Then he says, "Amritam pratamasi." Amrit is immortal. Now you so far have breathed up this world, Pratamasi, you die now, you are dead in front of, in compared to the Bhakti Asana, Sindhu, Ananda, the Gita Govind.
Jai.
Then he says, Makanda Kranda. Makanda means mango juice, Makanda. So now you cry now. You could only cry now. As it going.
Oh, there's so many beautiful things, huh?
Yes. three more.
I had just been reading Bhanu Swami's translation of Gopala Champu, and I don't know if I can remember them all, but there are three reasons why the moon has got lines. One is that seeing Radha, the beauty of Radha's face, he got a rash on his face. Another one, seeing the musk spots on her face, he wanted to imitate that. And there's one other reason, I can't remember, but so beautiful. So beautiful. The Vaishnava poets have given us so many beautiful things.
Then he takes Raksha, Ambur, the grapes, also seen right, in this world. But Raksha, the Sanskrit word, root is rush, to see. He came Rashanti, now who will see you? Raksha, you see. Who will see you now? They will not see you.
Yeah, those who learn Sanskrit, they can relish these things.
And there's this Lalana or the Adharambit. There's Dharani Tala Dalsha. The woman's the lower lips of lips. Experience of kissing them. If now you that kind of pleasure, you go to hell. Dharani Tala Daksha. Your position will be the lowest in the world. So, like that.
Ah, yes. Thank you.
I'm a Girasti. I do all our elevated Aryasis and all this. I just want to have one wonderful idea of how to lead a balanced life in the Girasti world. So, this
Seeing that white hair on your head, I would say it's time to leave that Grihastha life.
No, it is not possible.
It is possible.
It's not possible.
No, but that's the obstacle is in the mind.
No, but still, suppose I'm not in that position.
Then you go with your wife and live in Vrindavan and do bhajan. And finish your life like that.
But what about the duties and the interest?
Anyway, you have to die sometime, and then all the duties will be finished. So you die ahead of death. Take your wife, go to Vrindavan and chant Hare Krishna. Well, that's what I'm saying. You can leave her behind also.
But is that the only solution?
One thing is, this human life is very rare.
Okay.
It is an opportunity to go back to Godhead.
Okay.
Now you're in the end portion of your life.
Right.
Do whatever you have to do so you can go to Krishna and not come back. Just consider. Now is not the time for balancing and going slow. Now is the time to make the last push.
Okay.
Fully surrender to Krishna. Otherwise you won't have time after you leave the body. As long as you're thinking of trying to balance, you're keeping attachment for this material world. Which means you have to come back to it. Therefore, in the Vedic system, it's recommended at the end of life you leave all these things, fully absorb in Krishna.
That's the only way.
The only way to go back to Godhead is to be fully attached to Krishna. As long as you remain attached to anything in this material world, you have to stay here. Better to make an arrangement by which you can be detached from that which keeps your mind here. That is the recommended process.
But I have heard that being in the Grihastha family, a person can go to the...
You can do from the Grihastha ashram also, but whether you are in the Grihastha ashram or whatever ashram, At the time of death, we have to be fully attached to Krishna. And generally in grihastha life, the attachments are there. So you can be fully Krishna conscious in the grihastha ashram. But the attachments are an impediment to our attaining perfection. Therefore, the Vedic system is that at the end of life, you leave it and fully absorb in Krishna consciousness. Fully absorb means you have nothing else to do. Chanting, going to the temple, serving. Whereas if you're at home, you have to think about my sons, my grandsons, a pet dog and everything. And there's no end to it. So, you consider. Krishna has given you intelligence. You kindly consider. Do whatever gives you the best opportunity for getting out of this material world and going to Krishna. I think we'll finish there. Hare Krishna.